Matthew chapter 5 seems like a strange place to go for a study of Luke's gospel. But having arrived at the Beatitudes in Luke's gospel, we'll work our way through as many Beatitudes as we can. I knew out in Raymond, I wasn't. It wouldn't be sometime before having finished Luke, I would end up getting to Matthew. So we'll take as many Beatitudes as we can. And this evening we come to verse 5 in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek. This section of Scripture, the Beatitudes, is the beginning of a familiar section of Scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. And we could summarize the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount in general and the Beatitudes in particular as Christian living or Kingdom Living 101. What does it look like to be a part of the Kingdom of God? What traits mark those who have been saved and redeemed by Jesus Christ, who have been born again, who are part of the Kingdom of God? And I've mentioned in past weeks that it's striking that the entryway into this sermon that describes life as a follower of Christ it repeats over and over again this one word, blessed, blessed. And so the entryway into Christianity, the entryway into the Christian life, into belonging into the Kingdom of God, it is a life and a kingdom of blessing poured forth from Jesus Christ. And we've noted throughout our study of Luke, and especially the Beatitudes, that Jesus is not inventing here something new. Rather, he is drawing heavily from the Old Testament. That's true of the entirety of Jesus' ministry, but it's true especially of the Beatitudes. We've noted Isaiah 61, 1-4, which is almost verbatim a number of the sections in this passage. We've noticed the paradigm of Moses when he received the law, going up onto the mountain, communing with God, and then coming down to give the law of God to God's people. We see almost in direct quote form in Psalm 37, 10 and 11, we'll find a parallel, the Old Testament parallel to our verses this evening. There David writes in Psalm 37, 10 and 11, "In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." So Jesus here isn't departing from the Old Testament. In fact, he is drawing exactly from the Old Testament and setting forth the riches of the Old Testament to his new covenant people. Remember as well that when Jesus speaks about blessing, and we mentioned this in the past weeks, that Jesus is talking about something very weighty. This is heavy blessing. God's everlasting favor in Jesus Christ. This isn't a sort of a pixie stick blessing that tastes good for a little while and then comes and goes and you leave a little headache or something like that. This is heavy, weighty blessing. And this is important for us because what Jesus is describing here is exactly what you and I and everyone around us most desires. Everyone desires to be happy. Happy in a lasting way. Happy in a heavy way. Happy in a way that the comings and goings of life do not change. And here in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in particular, Jesus tells us where that happiness, that blessedness is found. It's found with Him in His kingdom. So with those background introductory points in mind, let's pray and then we'll read the Word and begin our study. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for the working of Your Holy Spirit in our midst. We pray for the Spirit to give attention to the mind. We pray for the Spirit to make our wills soft, that they would be bent towards obedience. We pray that the Spirit would make our hearts warm, eager to receive the implanted Word with meekness and fear, that Word that is able to save our souls. We pray, Father, that Christ would be honored as we read and as we hear Your Word proclaimed. We pray that we would be sanctified after the image of Your Son. We pray that in all this You would get the glory. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll read Matthew 5, verse 5. Hear now the Word of God. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, two questions for this verse, the same two questions we've asked in the previous Beatitudes. Who is blessed according to this Beatitude, and why are they blessed? Who is blessed, and why are they blessed? And then we'll give some application at the end. Well, who is blessed? Jesus says here in verse 5, "Blessed are the meek." Blessed are the meek. Well, meekness is one of those things. I have an Irish friend who quotes a Scottish saying, meekness is better felt than telt. Meekness is like coffee. What does coffee smell like? What does coffee taste like? It tastes like coffee. You know what coffee is when you smell it. You know what coffee is when you taste it. But it's difficult to describe. And meekness is the exact same way. I had a roommate my first 2 years in seminary who was meek. And when I think of meekness, I think of this friend, Aaron Suber. He was meek. But to describe meekness is a challenging thing. It's one of the things that you know when you see and you know when you encounter, but it's difficult to describe. So I've got an attempt at somewhat of a description or a definition that we'll work our way through that hopefully will be of some help. The meek are submissive to God, patient towards others, and humble in themselves. The meek are submissive to God, patient towards others, and humble in themselves. Submissive to God, patient to others, and humble in themselves. I think this is sort of a description, if nothing else, of the scriptural view of meekness. They're submissive to God. When they hear the word of God, they submit to it. James 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So when the meek hear the word of God, they receive it with faith and with humility and with submission. The meek have hearts to do God's will. 1 Samuel 3:18. There, God had promised that Eli's house, because of the disobedience of his sons, was going to encounter judgment. And this word came to Eli through Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 3:18, Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. The meek are submissive to God. They have a high view of the greatness of God and a low view of themselves in light of that. And they submit themselves to God and to His Word. They submit themselves to God. They're also, in addition to being submissive to God, they are patient toward others. They are patient toward others. They forgive when they are wronged. They are self-controlled when provoked. And they are gentle in their speech. Listen to what Paul says to Titus in Titus 3:2. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And then he says this, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So the meek are not only submissive to God, but they're patient towards others. When they are wronged by other people, they forgive them. When they are provoked by other people and drawn out and the finger is put on the nerve, they maintain themselves in self-control. And when they speak, their speech is full of gentleness. These traits, of course, are going to be described throughout the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about forgiveness. How many times must I forgive my brother? 7 times. And Jesus says, 70 times, 7 times. The meek are a forgiving people. The meek turn the other cheek. The meek go the extra mile. The meek give of themselves. So not only do they submit themselves to God and His Word, but they are patient towards others. And they are humble in themselves. They are humble in themselves. They know they deserve less than they have and are content to live without the praises of men. They know they deserve less than they have and are content to live without man's praise. If they don't get the credit they deserve, that's okay, because there's humility in the heart. It's not just a matter of a posture towards other people, but in their own heart, there's a lowness. Bunyan said, if somebody's down, they can't fall. And that's true of the meek person. They're humble in their hearts. And so if they don't receive the credit that is due or the praise that is due, they know they deserve less from God and from man than they have been given, even in the most trying circumstances, and they are content to live without man's praise. So the meek are submissive to God, patient to others, and humble in themselves. And God calls His people to meekness. God calls His people to meekness. Now, as I said, meekness is better felt than telt. So I've got 3 scripture examples here that hopefully will illustrate this a little bit. And the first is Moses. Moses in Numbers 12:3 is the most meek or humble man in all the earth, Numbers 12:3 says. And think about these 3 categories when you think of Moses' life. They submit themselves to God. Exodus chapter 3, Moses is called out and he stands before God at the burning bush and he trembles. He trembles. God calls him to deliver his people. And he says, Lord, who am I? Who am I to go and deliver his people? He is a man who understands the greatness of God and lives under God's greatness. But not only that, he's patient toward others. How frequently did the Israelites complain to Moses? Or we could ask it the other way. How frequently did the Israelites come to Moses and say, Moses, you're doing great. And we are so glad that you took us out of Egypt and you're just the best leader and you've given us everything we need. Now, Moses heard the opposite. Right? This is terrible. Let's go find some other leaders. Let's go worship in a different way than God has provided. And yet, what did Moses do? He cast himself down before the Lord. He interceded for the people of God. Oh Lord, do not strike them down. Do not strike them down. But have mercy and keep your promises to them. He was patient and long-suffering towards the fumbling and bumbling people of God. And he was humble in himself. You remember that time when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to give Moses advice? He didn't say, hey, you're my father-in-law. This is unusual. I don't want to take your advice. And furthermore, I'm the leader and you're not. No, Moses received with humility the advice of his father-in-law. Moses wasn't sinless. He didn't get to heaven because he was meek. He was a sinner like you and me. But he is an example to us of one who is humble before, of one who is submissive to God, patient with others, and humble in himself. A couple New Testament examples. John the Baptist. John the Baptist. This was a man who was submissive to God. A man who willingly dressed in a strange way, ate unusual food, and preached an uncomfortable message for no other reason than because God commissioned him to do it. John lived an unusual life, preached a message that ground the gears of those, many of those who heard him. And yet he submitted himself under the mighty hand of God. He was patient towards others, preaching and preaching and preaching. And when Jesus came, he was absolutely clear. I am not the Christ. And he says, I must decrease and he must increase. So there's this posture of humility, patience towards others, submission to God, humility in heart. This man who's had a great preaching ministry and now Jesus comes along and he is going to take his followers. And John's response is not, I should get more credit than I'm getting, but he says, oh, may I decrease in the face of Christ. Meekness. And then the third example, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. There are a number of examples where we could turn in Scripture. Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. That Greek word there is the same word in Matthew 5:5 for meek. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus was meek. Matthew 21:5. I had so many scripture references in this one, I ran out of tabs to get there quick. Matthew 21:5. They're reading from the prophet, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So Jesus, even in the triumphal entry, is coming humble. Humble. Come to me, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am meek. I am meek, Jesus says. Think again about those three categories. Someone who's submissive to God. What does Jesus say? I have come to do my Father's will. What I see my Father doing, that is what I do. The words that the Father has given me, those are the words that I speak. Think of that great trial of Jesus' meekness in Gethsemane, where Jesus, sweating drops of blood, comes before his Father and he says, oh Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, not my will, but yours be done. He submitted himself to the Word of God, even into great cost. To great cost. Was Jesus patient with others? Peter, who denied him 3 times. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to Peter, this one who denied him, and he goes to him in forgiveness and mercy and in love. How many times over and over and over again did Jesus explain to the disciples, I must suffer and be crucified and die and rise again? And Peter said, no, nothing of the sort. Jesus was patient. He was patient. And there's a posture of humility in himself. It's beyond our comprehension to think of God's Son in such a way. And yet Paul says in Philippians 2 that he who is in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So he's humble in himself. He was willing to lay aside all the glories of heaven that he might come and save us. He was meek. He is meek. So the meek are submissive to God, patient with others, and humble in themselves. Who is blessed? Blessed are the meek. I hope I've, again, describing coffee. It's one of those things, hopefully you get a taste, and it's one of those things that you know when you see, God calls us to meekness. Blessed are the meek. Now in verse 5, why are they blessed? Why are they blessed? For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And as I mentioned moments ago, this is not new. We'll flip back there to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And so the meek, the people who are submissive to God, patient with others, and humble in themselves, they are blessed. Why? Because they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. And I think there's a twofold way we could understand that. Of course, in the Old Testament, this had especially in view the land that God had promised, the promised land. And I think Jesus would have us understand here that there is a blessing here and now, a present life blessing for those who are meek. Think about that for a minute. The meek are those who don't speak harsh words. The meek are those who don't hold grudges. The meek are those who say, whatever my God ordains is right. The meek are those who are not easily provoked. The meek are those who are humble in giving of their opinions and receiving the opinions of others. And the meek are those who remain steadfast and self-controlled, even when things are not as fair as they might like. Doesn't that sound like a great way to live? That you are not unsettled all the time when you don't get all the credit you think you deserve, or that you're not bitter in your heart when someone slights you, or that when trials come, you can say, it is the Lord, let him do as he pleases, or that your heart is free from burdensome grudges. What a blessed way to live. Blessed are the meek. Because here and now in this life, their life will be a blessing. All these burdens that the self-concerned and the self-promoting carry don't weigh them down. So I think there's a present life blessing, but I think there's perhaps more importantly, this verse has heaven in view, for they shall inherit the earth or inherit the land. We saw in Psalm 37 that this is a reference to Canaan, the promised land. And the promised land in the Old Testament is a picture, a type of that greater promised land that belongs to all of the people of God in heaven. If you turn to Revelation 21:1, John describes that place. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I think that's what Jesus is describing here. He says, my people, those who have come to me, those whose hearts have been changed and who submit themselves to God and are patient with other people, that fruit of the Spirit, and who are humble in themselves, this new heaven and new earth where there are no tears and no mourning and no crying and no pain and no death, he said, they're going to inherit that place because they are part of my blessed kingdom. So who is blessed? The meek are blessed. Why are they blessed? Because they shall inherit the earth. And that is a promise not only for the present life, but especially for heaven to come, the new heavens, the new earth, will be theirs. Okay, well, who is blessed? The meek. Why are they blessed? They will inherit the earth. I'd like to spend the rest of our time going through some practical applications of how this affects you and me as we live the Christian life. And I've got five of them. The first is this, sort of a general word. Meekness makes us different. Meekness makes us different. If meekness is submission to God, patient towards others, and humble in yourself, that is the exact opposite of what the world is preaching and what the world offers. Meekness sets Christians apart. We're swimming upstream. The world says, blessed are the self-righteous. Blessed are those who say, God has no right to tell me when I'm right or wrong. God has no right to tell me if this lifestyle or that lifestyle is wrong. Who is God? If I can use him for my good or for my comfort, great. And if he contradicts me, well, let me kick him to the curb. Blessed are the self-righteous. The world also says, blessed are the vindictive and the harsh. When someone does bad to me, I do worse to them to prove a point. That's what the world says, where the world says blessing is found. You will feel better when you exact vengeance upon the one who has harmed you. When you speak down to them, when you condescend, blessed are the prideful. whose hearts are puffed up, who are assured of themselves. They will inherit the earth. They'll run the world. They'll be blessed. And so we're swimming upstream. And it's important for us to remember, we're so familiar with the Beatitudes, it's important for us to remember that the things that Jesus describes here, these character traits of his kingdom, run contrary to what the world preaches. Meekness isn't in high demand. And yet Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. So the question for us then, are we swimming upstream? The world says Jesus is wrong here. Don't listen to Jesus. Blessed are the proud. Blessed are the vindictive. Blessed are those who judge others. Blessed are the self-righteous. And Jesus says, no, no. Blessed are the meek. So we should be swimming upstream here. Meekness makes us different. This is something that sets Christians apart from the rest of the world. A trait by the mercy of God, by His Spirit, that should mark His people. Meekness makes us different. That's the first thing. The second thing. The meek are willing to receive correction. The meek are willing to receive correction. Proverbs is so helpful on this point. Proverbs 15:10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. So it's a mark of the fool that they do not want to receive reproof. But the meek, when a brother or sister comes to them in love and says, brother, sister, there is a better way, the meek are willing to receive rebuke. At the end of that same chapter in Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. So the meek are willing to receive correction. Now, Jesus had no sin. He didn't need to be corrected, but Jesus certainly submitted himself to the Word of God. So the meek are willing to receive correction. One more proverb, Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. The meek receive correction. They are humble in themselves. They understand, I don't have all that is wisdom. I don't have all intelligence. They're humble in themselves and they're able to receive correction. And I think this is a helpful reminder. Meekness is most often revealed around other people. Our interactions with other people reveal if there is a posture of meekness in our hearts. Are we teachable? Are we teachable? Are we willing to receive counsel? Or when we receive a rebuke, do we receive it by saying, yes, you may be true, but let me tell you the 17 things that have been frustrating me about you? That's not a posture of meekness. How often we fail in this area. Our meekness is revealed around others, our interactions with others, especially when others identify our sin. I forget who it was, if it was Calvin or Luther. They said so often the posture of our heart is, I'm happy to tell you that I'm a sinner, but don't you tell me that I'm a sinner. The meek are willing to receive correction. The meek are willing to receive correction. That's the second application. The third, the meek submit to God in hardship. The meek submit to God in hardship. And the best case, the best example here is a fairly obvious one from Job. Job chapter 2. You know what happened with Job at the beginning of the book. He lost absolutely everything. And in verses 9 and 10 of Job chapter 2, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So the meek submit to God in hardship. Shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil too? Whate'er my God ordains is right, his holy will abides. The meek submit to God in hardship. They don't stew over unfairness. They don't stew over seeming injustices to them. But they say with Jesus in Gethsemane, not my will, not my will, not my will, but yours be done. The meek submit to God in hardship. Whate'er my God ordains is right. He is my God, though dark my road. He holds me that I shall not fall. Therefore, to him I leave it all. The meek submit to God in hardship. That's the third thing. The fourth application. The meek forgive others leaving vengeance to God. The meek forgive others, leaving vengeance to God. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." The meek forgive others and leave vengeance to God. Proverbs 19:11. It is their glory to overlook an offense, not to hold grudges or to explode. One who's inwardly calculating, waiting for that opportunity to land the punch of the lip, using your words to punch somebody in the face after they've done something mean. And the meek forgive others, leaving vengeance to God. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So the meek forgive other people. Or 19, excuse me. That not verse 9 was connected though. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. The meek don't take the vengeance of God into their own hands. They forgive others, and they say, "God will take care of this," which is a far more terrifying thing than me taking care of it. They forgive others, leaving vengeance to God. So these are traits of meekness. It makes us different. We receive correction. We submit to God in hardship. We forgive others, leaving vengeance to the Lord. And then fifthly and finally, the meek await an eternal inheritance. The meek await an eternal inheritance. You remember how Jesus ended the verse, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we endure, we will also reign with him." If we endure, we will also reign with him. And Jesus gives us a promise here because we need something to hold on to, don't we, when we're forgiving other people, even when it's really hard, and when we're submitting to God in a trying providence. This beatitude reminds us that it's not always going to be this way. But they will inherit the earth. At the last day, the meek will be vindicated. They will have peace, they will have justice, and they will reign with Christ. The path to heaven is a path of meekness. Heaven is a place of meekness where we dwell forever with Jesus, the Savior, who is meek and lowly of heart. Heaven is a place of perfect submission to God, of perfect gentleness to others, and of perfect humility of heart. That the life of meekness, the path of meekness, is a path to a place where all injustices and all wrongs and all sin is put away forever. And that place is a place where we dwell forever with Christ, who is the one who says, "Come to me, for I am meek. Come to me, for I am meek." Well, what is heaven all about? Heaven is all about Jesus. He's all the glory, Rutherford says in the hymn. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. There's no need of lamp or sun because the Lord God Almighty is the lamp. And it's light, and the Lamb is with him. In Revelation 1, which we read a few weeks ago, the face of Jesus Christ shines like the sun in full radiance. And what is that one like who shines like the sun? He's meek and lowly of heart. Our great joy in heaven will be Jesus Christ, seeing him and delighting him and being with him. And what is he like? He's meek. He's meek. Heaven is a place where meekness is part of that glory, part of the radiance of Jesus Christ, the one who says, "Come to me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." That's what our inheritance will be like. So we can get ready for heaven. We can live now as if we were in heaven, by striving to cultivate meekness. So who is blessed? Blessed are the meek, those who submit to God, show patience to others, and who are humble in themselves. And we are blessed because by the grace of God, through the working of God's Spirit, we will inherit the earth. We will be in the new heavens and the new earth with Christ forever, our meek and gentle Savior. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, meekness is so much easier to talk about than to exemplify. And we pray, Father, that we would be increasingly conformed to the image of our Savior in this attribute, that we would be meek. Lord, we pray for your help. We pray for your help that we would better reflect Christ in this way. And we pray, Father, that as we do so, you would fix our minds firmly in heaven, where Christ is. And in so doing, our lives would be transformed. Lord, help us to press on towards that place, and would our life more and more be conformed to it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.